Our reactions, your reactions, all the reactions start right now.
And the Razorbacks defend the home field with a staggering third quarter and a 24-13 victory over the Tennessee Volunteers. Three wins and three losses for this Arkansas team. Absolutely fantastic performance. The defense dominating, especially in the second half. And we want your calls and texts throughout the next couple of hours because I think you've got plenty to talk about here. Phil Elson, Matt Smackdown Jenkins with you. Just put the phone number out there. We have got calls and texts. It'll be 877-377-6963. Got to be happy after another great performance by Arkansas football. Anybody see 3-3 record after the first six games, Smackdown? Do you think that would have been something that was realistic? I know a lot of us thought that there was a good chance you may end up at 2-2. But my goodness, three wins over the first six games.
I think the better thing to say here is, like, with three wins, I think you had several people that came out and said, yeah, this team could get to three wins, but I think three wins, Phil, came by the end of the year, and those three probably being the Mississippi schools and maybe a possible Missouri. But now you're sitting at 3-3, six games into the year under a first-year head coach, and good God almighty. I mean, and I know we're going to get into the whole game and, like, your calls and texts and the phone lines are fixing to be lit up here in just a second, but what a job by this coaching staff in the second half.
Absolutely.
An abysmal first half and big performance, and it wasn't like it was anything. It wasn't bad. I mean, it was bad, don't get me wrong, but it's something we hadn't seen in a while. And for them to come out in the second half and put a 24 points on the board, zero first downs in the second and the third quarter for Tennessee, you give the game balls to any of the players you want. That coaching staff deserves a lot of those game balls after that halftime adjustment taken into the third quarter.
Been a lot of reason to go into the locker room feeling pretty down about what you might see in the second half. But then again, I remember thinking, hey, this was the same Tennessee team that took a big lead into the locker room against the University of Georgia and looked outstanding. You know, they kind of pushed Georgia around in that first half. They did the same to Arkansas today. You know, they were the team that set the tone. It was funny because it felt like a lot of the talk throughout this last week, our shows included, were about who would be able to establish the run early and what that would do for the rest of the game. Arkansas did not establish the run early, not at all. You know when they did establish the run? Early in the second half. And that's really what generated that big 17-play, 75-yard drive.
Incredible.
Which I found to be the most incredible drive of the season for this team. Balanced, generated positive good yardage, not just positive yardage, but good yardage on first and second down. You know, you had Felipe Franks make a couple of fantastic throws. You had Traylon Smith and Rakeem Boyd both converting third downs. You had Blake Kern come up big with the 10-yard catch over the middle to set you up with first and goal. And that was the moment where the tone was set for me, really. It was like, take whatever happened to that first half.
Yeah.
And just throw it in the garbage because it didn't matter at that point, especially when Arkansas defensively forces three and out on Tennessee's ensuing possession, and then you're able to get the long, you're able to go down the field and score once again.
It was incredible to see, and it was, I mean, and they said it several times on the broadcast. And by the way, kudos to Tom Hart and Jordan Rogers, just a fantastic broadcast crew that did the broadcast, obviously for the television broadcast, but they even mentioned it. Literally felt the momentum shift after that 17-play drive and just nickel and diming it down the field, and like you just mentioned, converting on so many third-down opportunities for that team. And the momentum shifted after that, and then it seems like every time they had the ball in the third quarter, it just kept – I mean, like you just said, 17 plays. The second time, I think it was three or four plays. The third time was just two plays and a 58-yard bomb to Traylon Burks. The third quarter is what saved them, and they made a lot of adjustments at halftime, and – kudos to them. They came away with the W, after that first half, I don't know how many fans are feeling so confident in that, because how many times in the past two or three years when Arkansas was down 13-0 or down by a pretty decent deficit at halftime, they just fell in and folded in toward the second half, like under the Chad Morris era, the latter part of the Brett Bielema's era. This team doesn't quit. This team never quits, and this team made the adjustments necessary and came away with the W.
Just looking at the numbers over the third quarter, because again, at least offensively, that's where almost all of Arkansas's yardage, certainly all their points today, came from. 257 yards for Arkansas in the third quarter. They held Tennessee to 16. 9 minutes, 47 yards of possession time in the third quarter. Tennessee just 5 minutes, 13 seconds. And, of course, of that 9:47 for Arkansas, they held it for as long as Tennessee had it for the entire third quarter on just the opening drive of the second half alone, 5 minutes and 14 seconds. 10 first downs for Arkansas, none for Tennessee. 28 plays for the Razorbacks, 10 for Tennessee. Felipe Franks, who finished 18 of 24 for 215 yards, 3 touchdowns. Another game where he does not turn the ball over. I think that how many is that now? I think it's been held to one turnover in the last four games. Absolutely incredible. And 170 of those 215 yards coming in the in that third quarter for Felipe Franks. Treylon Burks, another big game. Didn't get to that 100-yard mark, but scores another touchdown. 5 catches, 95 yards. And it wasn't just Burks this time. You had a nice game from Mike Woods, Blake Kern also. And it looks like with whatever the injury is for Hudson Henry, looked like an ankle injury.
And he deserves every belt buckled, pat on the back. That dude toughed that game out for as many times as he was in there. And you could tell he was hurting and limping, but he made a lot of key blocks when they needed him most, Phil.
Well, Kern still got open.
Absolutely.
In that third quarter. And, I mean, with that big target. He had caught just about anything that came his way. So you got more production from the tight ends again. Both Boyd and Smith running well. In fact, look at Treylon Smith's numbers here. 9 carries, 72 yards. Boyd, 19 carries for 69. Davion Warren with the 2 carries. Boy, they got him involved in the offense early after he was barely involved in the last couple of weeks. 2 carries for 41 yards. Franks ran it himself for 50. 234 yards on the ground for Arkansas. That's a total gain. That with the sacks on Franks, they almost got to 200, 198 yards, and end up out rushing Tennessee 198 to 185. You know, Tennessee only passes for 107 yards, and that's a team offensively that looks lost. You know, and look, yeah. I felt like Jared Garantano made some plays. Mostly with his legs, made a couple of nice throws, but they obviously weren't very comfortable putting the game on the set of his arm. And Jim Chaney's offense was deliberate, certainly in that first half. They held the ball for almost 2 times as much as Arkansas did in the first half. But then, they could barely get anything going in the second half at all.
Yeah.
So Arkansas defense, again, playmakers at every single level of the defense. And it wasn't necessarily the quote-unquote splash plays that I think we promoted a lot last week. You didn't have, a lot of turnovers until the last couple of Tennessee drives when they started to get desperate. But it was good tackling in the second half. Your defensive line played outstanding. You know, and Jonathan Marshall is going to get a lot of publicity this next week.
Yeah.
for his ability to hang tough, especially after, they did get pushed around in that first half, but it was quite the opposite in the second half. Marshall kind of leading the charge there, allowing guys like Bumper Pool to make plays. Jalen Catalan continues to do the same thing. Grant Morgan, once they got near, Gray or Small, they wrapped him up.
Right.
There wasn't much room at all, especially once Garantano got out of the ball game.
It was a heck of a defensive effort, absolutely. We got a couple calls on here ready to go for you guys. And if you want to call or text in, let us know your reactions. We want to hear from you because we're going to be here. See, it's 11:06 right now, Phil. I think we're going to go on to the wee hours of the morning here. So you got your coffee ready to rock and roll?
I had a Red Bull before I got on.
There you go.
So here we go. 877-377-6963. First up is Pete in Batesville. Hi, Pete. You're on Hog Reaction.
Pete, you there? All right, let's go back to Pete here a little bit, see if I can.
We'll put Pete on hold and see if we can try the other phone line. Billy in Bella Vista. Hi, Billy. You're on Hog Reaction.
Hey, this is Billy from Bella Vista. And as you shout out to the defense tonight. The defense was shout out wild tonight. They kicked ass, kicked butt.
They certainly did, man. I mean, that's good verbiage for it. Very good verbiage. Not a lot of big plays for Tennessee. You hold them to 13 points, shut them out of the second half.
Marshall looked like a first-round pick.
Well, you know, I heard Quinn Grovey make a comment late in the game on the radio broadcast that you heard today, and he said, boy, Jonathan Marshall's making himself some money. He really is.
Yeah, he really is.
He looks everything yeah. part of a professional defensive tackle. So defense is Billy, what you're focusing call, on here, Billy. Appreciate the call. And I don't see why you wouldn't focus on the defense. You know, this is one of those plays where offensively you didn't really need to do all that much. I mean, Arkansas basically didn't do anything except into the third quarter. You know, a couple of impressive drives, though, in the first half, though, that did not lead to any points. Not everything's positive, even in a victory here. So, you know, there were some first half drives that didn't end the way that you would have liked them to end. I mean, you go 71 yards and 16 plays in the first half, and AJ, you know, you're not able to punch it in, first and goal from the 4-yard line. You know, a little cutesiness here and there, and A.J. Reed ends up missing a 28-yard field goal.
And we're not going to call this thing a jinx, right? We're not calling this a jinx by Tom Hart, right?
It couldn't be a jinx by Tom Hart. All he's doing is delivering the news.
He's delivering the facts that actually this guy had made most of his quote-unquote extra point kicks.
And then he ends up, you know, pushing one to the right side. I was glad to see Reed did connect on that 48-yard field goal.
He nailed that thing, too.
Late in the third quarter. I mean, you know, for one thing, in the context of the game itself, I mean, that made it a two-score game. And then just the idea that he'd missed the two field goals against Texas A&M from about the same defects, the exact same distance, 48 yards, and had pushed the first one right today. So that was one of the nice things to see.
Got a good
877-377-6963. Yeah, I see this text out of the 417. Hudson Henry showing his toughness tonight. Absolutely. You know, the injury to the ankle occurred in the first half. He came back out in the second half and did make a big third down catch. I think that was his last play of the game. Even leading the charge on a couple of running plays for Boyd to open that drive, and you could tell, I mean, he was throwing those blocks with a bad ankle. He wasn't shying away. He really wasn't. That was toughness on display by Hudson Henry.
It's great
to see, but at the same time, you're like, ooh, might want to get him off the field, which they did, and I don't think we saw him for a while after that.
And it seems like every time when we needed a big block from him, he came up big. I think two or three of those came on third down when you needed a block to get that running in there. Got another text in here. This comes on our YouTube page. And we're streaming all across social media, so you can comment anywhere you want to. Comes from Doug Stubbs, and this is something we'll definitely get into more next week. But he says, Arkansas needs to stop trying the trick, fool them plays to show how smart they are. Stay with what's working until they stop it, then make the adjustments. And you keep seeing and it wasn't necessarily a big abundance of these gadget plays and different things like that, but just odd play calling, especially in that, I believe it was the first goal and drive when they started doing a lot of the quarterback sweeps and you weren't running Rakeem Boyd up the middle, which kind of got you going down there. And just odd play calling from Kendall Browse. But like you said, I mean, there's not all sunshine and rainbows when you win. I mean, there's a few negatives in there, but like you said, eventually they figured out what was working. It was running the football and just kind of nickel and diming your way down there. But the weird play calls is something that needs to change or just go away, period.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. None of the trick plays seem to have worked yet this season. I think that when receivers are asked to throw the ball, I think they've felt, I don't know if there's pressure put on them to make sure they do throw it, but you know, Burks has tried to force it in there twice. Warren did again today. He was lucky. Davion Warren's pretty lucky that ball didn't get intercepted. It should have been. You had your triple fake that led to Traylon Smith, you know, kind of getting a little bit funky with what looked like some kind of a screen if you could follow where the ball was going. And, yeah, none of the trick plays have worked. But thankfully, this is one of those. This is one of those games where offensively, you really just needed a couple of drives and a couple of big plays.
Yeah.
Because your defense took care of the rest. Even in that first half, when you're watching the middle open up quite a bit defensively, Tennessee getting themselves good yardage on first and second down, converting on some third downs, they still only had a 13-point lead. It was still just 13-0. It's not. It really is not like they had run up and down the field against Arkansas. You did force them into a couple of field goal attempts inside the red zone too. So, you know, I mean, it felt like defensively there was room for improvement after the first half. But man, they still kept you in the game and gave you the opportunity for Felipe Franks and that offense to then reverse the tone to start the second half with that old school AFC Central like drive. All right, phones are ringing here, 877-377-6963, as we plan to take you up to about 1 in the morning. Well, that'll depend on your calls and your texts and how much this caffeine lasts on us. Jordan and Rogers is next up. Hey, Jordan, you're on Hog Reaction.
Hey, Phil. Hey, man, I actually have to contest what you're saying there about what our defense did. I think that, you know, they did fine, but man, I hold Coates and Marshall up to a higher standard. I think that they could have really done a lot better than what they did, and I was a little bit disappointed in the first half. And man, I just really think they can, you know, show a lot more than what they did. And
I think they ended up doing exactly that. I mean, that's why you have two halves of football, right? So I mean, let's look at the numbers.
Right?
First half, 135 rushing yards for Tennessee, 4.5 yards per carry. Second half, 50 yards, 2.5 yards per carry.
Second half was much better, and I have to give it to them for that. They really did show up in the second half. I just want to see them show up in every half, you know, here forward, you know, moving forward. I want them to show up like half to half, like every single half. Like let's see them show up like they did in the second half, every single half. And that's all I have to say. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. You guys have a great show, and thanks. Hey,
thanks for calling, Jordan. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. I mean, one thing that you have to pick up on when you're watching this team this year, and you had issues with halftime adjustments before Chad Morris became the head coach. This team makes some pretty good adjustments in the locker room at halftime. That's on coaching, and I think that's got something to do with such a heavy turn at halftime in this game. And hey, in some cases we saw the same thing at Ole Miss in other ways. 877-377-6963. Didn't sound like Jordan was all that, you know, excited though about the win. Not to critique the phone calls too much, but hey, this team won how many SEC games in the last
exactly,
4 years?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, I can understand where he's coming from a little bit, just because for two weeks now, which I guess you might as well just say a game and a half, the defense has been getting pushed around a little bit, particularly on that defensive line. And I can vouch for him a little bit where he's coming from. But like you said, they made adjustments in the second half, and they found weaknesses in that offensive line of where they could attack. And you saw another incredible game from that linebacking core and the three guys that we talked extensively about on halftime. Barber Poole finished with 14 total tackles. Catalan and Morgan finished with 12. And the two guys that he was talking about, Jonathan Marshall finished with 4 tackles. And who was the other gentleman he brought up? Coates finished with 6 tackles for the game.
Wow.
So
yeah, man. I mean, look, I mean, I know that they've had some struggles against the run this season for quite a bit, but look at what happened in the second half.
Exactly,
trying to do exactly the same thing they had done in the first half. You know, I mean, they're just going to try to line up and shove it down the Razorbacks' throats, especially without their starting quarterback back there with Garantano's injury, looked like a concussion. So, yeah, I mean, it's like whatever happened in the season leading up to the second half today, something just changed. And look, next game against Florida, you're facing a better offense. You're facing a team that's not necessarily worried about running it all that much. So it turns into a completely different story. I was impressed with the defensive line in this ballgame, and I've been impressed with Jonathan Marshall all season long. PA in Texarkana. Hey, PA, what's going on? You're on Hog Reaction.
Hey, well, good things are going on. I just had a couple of things I wanted to say, and they're just really about the defense. I think our defense feeds off the offense if they can just get some time to rest. Now, you know, not go three and out and they're right back out there, three and out and they're right back out there. You know, if we can get out of that and be able to rush the ball, make a few first downs, our defense is going to be stellar. Is stellar, not going to be. They are stellar. But the thing of beauty is to watch Jonathan Marshall take two guys that are double teaming and just push them back and clear a hole for Bumper Pool to fill the gap. And he's as sure a tackler as I've seen at the University of Arkansas since maybe Dennis Winston back in the 70s. And that's a high compliment. when Bumper gets his arms around you, you're going down. And he's not a huge, huge guy, but he darn sure knows how to tackle. And I think we have two very good linebackers. And Bumper Pool is special. I just hope he doesn't go to the NFL after this year because he's sure good. There'd be teams that would want to scoop him up, you know. I hope we get him one more year. But anyway,
you know what I think? I think you hit on something. PA, I think you've hit on something. I'm just going to put you on hold just for a second and see. I want you to react to what I'll say here. Because a guy like Bumper Pool, who doesn't have like all that size, he's not the fastest. It's not like he's all that slow, but man, he just seems to be in the right place, right? He seems to understand what is expected out of him in this defense. And also, you're right. Once he gets near the ball, once he gets near a ball carrier, he takes him right down. He has instinct. There's an instinct to Bumper Pool. There's Absolutely. An instinct to Grant Morgan. And gosh, is there an instinct to Jalen Catalan
Good
at the
God
safety
Almighty.
Position?
Absolutely.
It's amazing to watch guys just sort of glide around where you wouldn't expect they could see the ball carrier
right.
because of what's in front of them. But they both Pool and Catalan just know where the ball is going to end up.
Well,
the
I mean,
way
it's just
it is funneled to them. It's really something else.
And I think it's a credit for how Barry Odom and this defensive staff will scheme it up, because keep it simple. How many times have you heard, how many times have we heard that phrase, KISS, just keep it simple, stupid? I mean, and it does when you simplify how these defenders are supposed to play and the routes that they're supposed to do and the blitz packages and different things like that. If you can keep it simple and that allows your defense to fly around to the ball. You've heard Gene Chizik say this on the SEC Network broadcast for everything. And that's been the biggest cog for him as far as this quick turnaround with this Razorback defense. He's keeping things simple and allowing the defenders to fly around to the football, make big plays, and everything about it. So it's an incredible coaching job from Barry Odom, and it's allowing these guys to shine and like you said earlier, a complete turnaround from where we've been the past 3 years, and now you're 3-3, and you haven't won an SEC game prior to that in 3 years. And you've won 3 in 1 year.
Let's take a couple of texts here, and then we've got some calls lined up. Dennis from Van Buren reminds us Bumper Pool's just a true sophomore, so he's not going anywhere after this season. Text out of the 870, wondering about the depth of the defensive line to keep from getting gassed. And you would have thought that for sure. After the first half, kind of grab my numbers here on the time of possession for each quarter here. 12 minutes, 39 seconds of possession time in the first quarter for Tennessee. They had the ball for about 20 minutes in the first half. So, I mean, if you would have been worried about your defense's ability to rest up,
yeah,
it would have been right there. But then look what happens to open up the third quarter, you know. Your defense got rest time because the offense held the ball for over 5 minutes and went down the field and scored in 17 plays. And then the defense flips the script, takes it right back after three and out. And the tone was set right then and there. So it's not like, I mean, questions about the defensive line's depth, I understand, but I mean, if you're looking at the stat sheet here, I mean, these were guys that were making plays. Julius Coates, Eric Gregory, not just Marshall too, but then Torian Carter, Isaiah Nichols, Zach Williams, Xavier Kelly. You know, I mean, that's depth right there. They probably could use some more, but that is some depth. All right, let's go to Nick. Nick's on the road, leaving the game from Fayetteville. Hey, Nick, you're on Hog Reaction.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Having fun.
So I'm going to compare what we are this year kind of like to my golf game.
I hope this is good.
Do we need to know your handicap first?
This is good. It's as in golf, you don't record what shots you made. You just record the score. So I may have wound up with a par, but I'm not going to tell you how I got there.
I like it.
The first hole, I drove it down the middle, then I hit it to the right and was in the rough, and then I chipped it back on and finally drained a 35-footer that no one would have ever thought. Yeah. You know, so at the end of it all, if you could go back and take what we would have been saying last year and the year before right now, it would have been, how in the hell did we have so many penalties over and over and over? How do we not know not to do this and do that and do this? The things we're getting to talk about right now are so positive and so forward with the brand new coach, with a bunch of guys who are just hungry and don't quit. We would have quit against every single team we played last year and the year before in some of the situations we've been in. And we don't. Those guys keep freaking going after everybody every time. And that's why we're playing. I've been to every game this year. I'm going to Florida. We may not look great as it starts and through it, but at the end of it all, we could have won every single game we've played except for Georgia. And Georgia was the very best thing that could have happened to us.
Amen. I agree.
It proved to our defense that you can freaking hold Georgia the entire half. Remember this, the guy that called earlier talked about, I want us to come out. We opened the door with Georgia at home. We're supposed to be 0-4 right now, or 0-6 right now, if you remember. We're not. We're 3-3, and we're really 4-2. We got cheated at Auburn. But we are playing phenomenal, what Pittman calls blue-collar football. Our guys go out there, and they do everything they freaking can to do their assignment. And I know this. I've listened to them. I've talked to them. I know some of the guys on the team. We have a legitimate football team that is not going to quit on their teammates. They're not going to quit on their coach. And I guarantee you, if you ask any of those guys, they've learned more this year than they did the last 2 years. I'd bet everything they want on it that they'd say that. Because they're getting tested from each other and by their coaches. They respect each other. They freaking love each other. And they're going out there undivided. They're going out there together with unity and devotion to each other to prove that they are there for a reason. They were recruited there because they are really, really good. And it's going to take every freaking one of them to get this done. This is not a fluke. This is not a fluke year. We're playing SEC at SEC venues and playing them at our home under the most strenuous conditions possible. They're keeping themselves safe. We're not having a bunch of COVID-related issues because those guys care so much, they're keeping their bubble small at home. And that's what it takes. So anybody that calls and says they want to see us to get on the jump and start doing a great job, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Nobody's doing that right now in this league. Nobody across the country's doing that. So, but when you finish, just like your golf round, if you made every sandy at the on the day, you only get to talk about that. You don't get to see it on your scorecard. We're crushing it. It shows in the scores, and it shows in what we're doing. So I hope I didn't go too long, but I think we're doing a great job.
No.
A great job.
You're good. You're good, no, Nick.
That's a great call, too. I like how you came full circle back to the golf game. I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but it's true. You know, I mean, who cares how you get to where you get if you're 3-3 when, gosh, you didn't think you would be there. Yeah, I agree with you. And I'll tell you what would the conversation have been like a year ago? There wouldn't have been one.
Yeah.
Nobody would have called. Nobody would have been on hold. It would have been me and SmackDown, you know, talking about the football game for an hour and then trying to converse about things that actually were interesting for the next hour. It would have been silent.
Yep.
It wouldn't have even been a conversation.
It's a whole lot more fun when you win, isn't it?
You had slipped into the area of apathy before.
That's true.
You know, apathy was where you were a year ago by the players, by fans, by everybody associated with it. And you are in it. It's a total 180. Total 180. It's amazing, and it's so much fun to watch it. We want more calls and texts for you. 877-377-6963. We're going to take a short break and come right back with more calls and texts. Arkansas now 3-3 with a 24-13 win over the Tennessee Volunteers. And Hog Reaction is back after this.
This is Hog Football Reaction. Streaming live now from hitthatline.com. You're listening to Hog Reaction. Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light.
Hogs now have their first three-game winning streak against an SEC team since 2016 against Ole Miss. Three wins in a row over Tennessee, although it took 13 years to get there. 877-377-6963. Phil Elson with Matt Jenkins. Arkansas wins 24-13. Now a 3-3 record heading into another big one on Saturday next week against the Florida Gators.
Prime time.
ESPN, 6 o'clock. It should be a good game, but you got to love the storyline, which we would have been excited about or at least covered no matter what the situation was with Arkansas football going into this game. Felipe Franks returning to Gainesville, taking on the team and the quarterback that had usurped him. But now with the way Felipe Franks is playing, and certainly the way Kyle Trask is playing, he set an SEC record with, what is it now, 5 weeks in a row, 4 touchdown passes at least?
Yep. It's going to be a ball game next week.
Primetime game on TV, and certainly we'll be on the field too. Got a couple of primetime callers on hold. They held through the break, and we appreciate that. Again, the number is 877-377-6963 for Hog Reaction calls and texts. Eddie in Clarksville. Eddie, I know you're fired up. How are you?
Good night. Good. Gentlemen, I tell you, I've been a Hog fan for over 4.5 decades. I'll give you a take on this game. You know, you could say it was a tale of two halves. You know, in the first quarter, you know, we're down at half 13-0. Certainly we left scoring opportunities. We got to get that cleaned up. But I don't know what was – it was like a light switch went on. I kind of like to think maybe Coach Papa Hall Pittman had a heart-to-heart with him and kind of lit a fire in the britches. But, you know, listen, over 4 decades, I watched a lot of Hog football. That was the best third quarter I ever witnessed. And somebody has to go down as one of the best third quarters ever played by an Arkansas team. Listen to these stats. Almost 300 yards of offense to Tennessee, the Vols, 16 yards. You're outscoring 24-0. I'd say that's one hell of a third quarter. But, you know, last week, I kind of chewed on a few players. And I want to call them out tonight. They kind of stepped up big tonight. I was on about bringing the play to the playing field. And two of them out of three did. And Trey Knox, Michael Woods, and Davion Ward. Of course, Trey Knox, sir, I'm just telling you, sir, you've got the God-given ability to add another arsenal to this team, and you're wasting it. You're not doing it. But Davion Ward, you stepped up big with some big runs in the first half. Look at Michael Woods. You stepped up, made a tough touchdown catch. Tyler Burks just screaming, does his outstanding job. That young man's going to be playing in the NFL. No doubt about it. But I want to congratulate a kid in the area here in Clarksville. a kid that America loves to love, and Mr. Blake Kern. I mean, he's played his dues. In fact, I went with his mother, Miss Amy English, out to D.C. And this kid has worked hard. He weight room, gained weight, what played his dues, and made the best of his opportunity. And tonight, he stepped up big. I mean, I thought I was looking at Gronkowski. I mean, what a tough catch he made for a touchdown. And then he made some tough catches in the game. So congrats, my heart goes out from my heart to the English family and the Kern family. What a go play. By the way, son, now we turn our attention to the Gators. And I thought we were more consistent on both sides of the football, especially on the defensive line tonight. I thought one player that brought his play tonight was Mr. Cope. And we need you to step up big like you did tonight, son. I mean, he stepped up big, sacked the quarterback a couple of times. So now, the whistle's blowing in a lot of areas. We are more consistent on both sides of the ball. So let the whistle blow, because we're coming with a head of steam to Gator Country. And we're coming to beat you. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, Eddie. Hope the I'm sure the the hog delight is extremely sweet and very creamy this evening. So I've got to feel pretty good about what he's going to be tasting tonight. Let's Blake Kern, 3 catches, 40 yards. First career touchdown, gives him 11 catches this year after not recording a single statistic for a catch or a yard of offense in his first 4 years with Arkansas. And, you know, depending upon the injury to Hudson Henry, you may need the same sort of performance, if not more so, from Blake Kern next week.
You need everybody healthy next week if you want to have a chance against the Gators next week, and especially, and we'll touch around the scores happening around the SEC, you're going to need every bit of Blake Kern, Hudson Henry, and every bit of one of everybody for next week against the Gators.
Eddie referenced that being one of the best third quarters in Arkansas history, and I wouldn't know how to, you know, go back and check that out necessarily, but I couldn't imagine a better one than that.
No.
I really couldn't.
Offensively, defensively, nothing, everything.
24-0. No first downs to 10 first downs. I mean, you convert on 5 consecutive third downs on an amazing drive. The momentum swing of that game was so clear and so obvious.
Yeah.
Really something else. Big Mike has been on hold for a bit here. Big Mike in Little Rock. What's up, Big Mike? You're on Hog Reaction.
What's up, brother?
What's happening?
Let me tell y'all real quick. I agree with Nick and Ed. But, you know, Jordan, appreciate you calling, but man, you ain't never laced up a set of cleats, so you need to go have another fruity beer and hug a tree, son, because that defense played tonight. And we're going to have our hands full next week against Florida. So we just need to get back on the practice field and let Sam and the coaches do their thing, and hopefully we'll come out and play a solid game. And that's all you can really ask for, because this kid's been on the hill for a long time without a win. Thanks to that Chad Morris. But anyway, Nick and Ed already said it all, so I appreciate y'all taking my call. Go Hogs. Good luck next week.
Heck yeah, Big Mike. Appreciate you calling in.
Good call. Thanks. And again, thanks for being on hold for as long as you were there. I mean, you referenced somebody like Jonathan Marshall and what he has been through at Arkansas. I mean, here's somebody that was brought in by Brett Bielema, redshirted his first year. You know, did get in under the 2 years with under in Bielema's last season. You know, wasn't necessarily a starter for all of the last 2 years. You heard a lot about Jonathan Marshall being perhaps the strongest player on the team. It seems like everything you want out of a nose tackle. Guy can take on 2 blocks. He is so strong and basically never comes off. And was outstanding in this victory for Arkansas, and has been outstanding all season long.
I agree,
and is one of the players that's been around, like Blake Kern, another player recruited by Brett Bielema. You know, I mean, and it's great to see these guys have a chance not just to enjoy this sort of success, but to be a part of the resurrection of this program. And remember, I mean, you had Marshall here in 2016, Kern here in 2017. There was optimism behind the program at the start of both of those seasons. It erased pretty quickly after, you know, late in 2017. And then the bottom falls out for 2 years, and you certainly have gotten out of the bottom right now. Right now, this is the third best team in the SEC West.
Without question. Without question. I mean, you look at everywhere else, I think it'll be, I don't know, but we're not going to get predictions for Arkansas, Florida next week, but then you roll into LSU back in Fayetteville in 2 weeks, and that's definitely going to be a winnable game, and you're probably going to catch them at their most vulnerable after getting smacked by Alabama, because I don't think there's any way LSU can match up on the same field as Alabama. And we'll talk more about that next week, but you've got a prime opportunity to probably, and maybe just say in 2 weeks, sitting at 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Phil, none of this was even a possibility when we talked about this in preseason. And you had your few fans that sprinkled on. I know Brett Good, who's on the Morning Rush several times. He was one of the few that actually called in and put his name to it. A 4 or 5 win team this year, maybe a 6 win team. I was like, you're crazy. Just because I don't think any of us expected this quick of a turnaround,
especially against what was viewed then.
Yes,
and I don't know necessarily if it really is now, but I mean then it was, and maybe it still is, the toughest schedule in the history of college football, in the history of college football. And now, you know, 6 games into an all SEC schedule, you're 3-3.
And you've been you can argue about the Georgia game, but I'll just throw that one out. Out of 6 games, you've been in 5 of them. You've had a chance at every one of these games.
And really, I mean, we understand the record should be 4-2. Everybody knows that. And it's fun. You know what's really funny to see, too? You know, I mean, you get Dari Noka and all the other guys back there at SEC Network Studios that when they're doing SEC post game, you know, they reference that every time they mention Arkansas's record.
Yeah.
Every single time. So it's understood. It's understood. It doesn't show it on the standings, but it is understood. Arkansas should be 4-2. But after beating Tennessee 24-13, the Razorbacks are 3-3. And we'll step aside for a break. We want calls and texts, 877-377-6963. That's right. Arkansas also perfect against the spread.
Yeah.
More proof that Sam Pittman isn't just a good coach. Smackdown, you know what a coach that covers is called, right?
Good coaches win, great coaches cover, my friend.
I think Sam Pittman's a great coach right now, whether or not this team covers or not.
Absolutely.
This program has been totally turned around. We'll come back after the break. We'll get your calls and texts. Again, that's 877-377-6963 on Hog Reaction.
Never before has your favorite sports radio station covered the Razorbacks like this. Streaming live now on HitThatLine.com.
You're listening to Hog Reaction.
Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light.
Arkansas over the Tennessee Volunteers. Phil Elson, Matt Smackdown Jenkins. And calls and texts for as long as we can hold you with us. We have a couple of texts that have come in here. Jackie in River Valley is very impressed with the hires that Hunter Yurecek has made. Who would not be, to be quite honest, in every sport?
Absolutely.
3 hires.
He's nailed it every time.
You got Jordan Weber with gymnastics. And, you know, don't roll your eyes. That's a great hire for that program. For any program, really. Eric Musselman for basketball. Looks like things are in the right direction there. Muss is so much fun. The team looks like a lot of fun. We'll find out in the upcoming weeks. And Sam Pittman, top of the list. Total team turnaround. And of course, is so humble, speaking after the game.
Yeah.
Deflecting all the praise. Also, you know, I think enjoying getting into the line of scrimmage weeds a little bit with Cole Kubelik in the post-game comments. Is there a more popular head coach right now in the SEC?
No, I mean, and you've heard Aaron Torres, and he's done several things on his YouTube channel, which if you haven't checked out the Aaron Torres Sports Podcaster's YouTube page, I'd highly recommend you guys to check him out because he's very pro Razorback, and he joins us every Friday on Halftime. But he echoes the same sentiment. I'll pull this tweet up that he sent, but the turnaround that he's able to do. And it's arguably it's one of the greatest stories in here for a team that was in the absolute gutter in the past 2.5-3 years to where they are now. And I don't know if we brought this up. I think I brought it up on The Rush a couple of days ago. How Arkansas, I would hope that they took it as an insult a little bit that Tennessee mm-hmm. came in favored.
I think a lot of people wondered who set that line.
Like I would have been fine if like Arkansas favored by two, because at least you're at home. And to me, the teams are so evenly matched as far as where they were heading. So that, I mean, maybe they took that to heart a little bit. But yeah, no, to answer your question, I mean, the turnaround for this team right now has just been breathtaking. And it's a story that the SEC Network is caught into. And heck, preseason when Laura Rutledge on the SEC Network came out and said, who's the team to watch or who you're excited to see? And she said Arkansas. And everybody's just like, are you free? Are you kidding me? Which I guess in her defense, there's no other way for Arkansas to go up. But God almighty, have they went up for sure. So it's been impressive to watch. And we're 6 games in. And the sky's the limit for this team, I think, as far as expectations. Because I think from fans' perspectives, I think the expectations are met for the year, in my opinion.
Well, let's keep breaking through the expectations.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, don't hang it up now.
Every single game, it seems like you find a little bit more. Even with the loss to Texas A&M, the way A&M laid it on South Carolina,
yeah,
and how good the Aggies look right now, look like they could beat a lot of other really good teams. I'll tell you what, I think Arkansas can hang with a lot of really good teams. We're going to find out next weekend against Georgia or against Florida.
Got a text in from I have to pull it back up, but a text from an Alabama fan, and he even said he's nervous for that Arkansas-Alabama game, which who knows? I mean, who knows if he's serious or not, but you kind of need to be. I mean, I don't.
He also questioned why would CBS not want this game instead of Alabama LSU? Well, hey, who would have known?
Who would have known
when CBS could pick their game to send to the Masters? Of course,
that LSU would stink.
That LSU would not be very good at all this year. 877-377-6963. Billy in Bella Vista's got more, I think, on his mind here. Hey, Billy, you got something else?
Yeah, this is Billy from Bella Vista.
Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the Oral Austin Georgia Florida game. The Georgia they lost the running game. They started passing more, and then the quarterbacks got in trouble. I was like, what happened to the running game for Georgia? They just quit running the ball. You know, I just think that Arkansas should pay more focus on that. You know?
Okay, Billy, appreciate the phone call. They've already played against Georgia. And Stetson Bennett did come out of the game for Georgia. Yep. We've got some of the other scores we can get to here.
And I think I heard him say on the broadcast he had a separated shoulder for most of that game.
That's what it was.
After the big hit he took.
That's what it was. Separated shoulder for him. I knew there was an injury for Bennett. Georgia's in a tough spot now, quarterback-wise. There's no doubt about that.
And I know they brought this up on the broadcast. Where's JT Daniels been? I was shocked when they didn't put JT in instead, and then they went with DeJuan Mathis. And I mean, then they even brought it up, and Brad Nessler did. What happened the last time DeJuan Mathis was on the field? Arkansas tore him to pieces.
A couple of texts to get to here out of the 256. How many players? This is something to actually worry about next week, I think. Derek in Fayetteville hasn't let himself get excited this year due to the past half decade of disappointment, but he's letting loose now. It's good to see. You know, skeptics, people that have had their, you know, it's not just having your heart ripped out by having a team that's been so bad in the last 5 years. It's just the apathy that's there. You don't even care any longer. And I could feel that from many people in the fan base. I mean, the season ticket numbers kind of speak alone to that. It will be interesting to see. You know, hopefully this pandemic does come to an end. You can have a full stadium at some point. I don't know when, but hopefully you can get a full stadium in the next year.
Yeah.
That season ticket number would shoot up, man. It really would.
Absolutely. I mean, I know we've brought this up a couple times, too. It's a damn shame that with everything going on right now, because you know that stadium would have been absolutely rocking during that third quarter. And that 16,000 people crowd They've been making some noise in the third quarter. You can hear it over the broadcast, so
yeah,
kudos to them.
Well, the student section came down to the, you know, what was it, the last few rows. I was kind of nervous watching the guys get up in the stands, but at least they looked like they might have been at least, what, 6 feet away?
Well, did you see?
I was a little worried about it for a moment there. But
not as worried as I think the Notre Dame athletic staff is, because they beat Clemson and then 20,000 students stormed the field. So that'll be interesting to see how that thing plays out.
877-377-6963. Does Felipe Franks have another year? Yes. 918 text. Yes, he does. But it's up to him. Would be his sixth season.
Well, he's got
redshirt. He redshirted 1 year. He had the injury. Mm-hmm. So he's got. He already has the injury waiver cleared if necessary. I think that some NFL teams will be looking at him for this upcoming draft, though.
I agree.
You know, I would love to see Franks back another season. But I think what we've seen right now, and of course he's got another four games and probably a bowl game to market himself even more so. You know, you're seeing a big quarterback. He's got the size. I'm not saying he's going to be like an NFL Pro Bowler or, you know, an every game starter, but he's got the size of a quarterback. He's got the arm of an NFL quarterback. He can make the short throws. He can make the throws to the sideline. He can throw it deep. He can run. He's mobile. You know, the knee injury looks like it's something he got past. I know he got up and limped a little bit after a hit in the third quarter today, but it looked like he was fine with that afterwards. And I'm not saying he's a first, second, third round choice, but Felipe Franks is a guy that I think will be looked at in the NFL draft this year. And I think that's what he came here for, to market himself in a sense that he could do that.
And one better way to market yourself than the way this team is performing right now. And I think if the NFL teams get what they get right now, you get a solid quarterback, and at least through the next past two, three games, he hasn't made any silly mistakes, silly throws. He's been very, very consistent with getting the ball down the field and getting the guys in the right spot. He runs when he needs to. He throws it down the field and has incredible arm strength. I guess the only knock that I would possibly have is to taking too many, I think in my mind, too many unnecessary sacks. And maybe trying too hard to make something out of nothing when you could just throw it away and then keep it second and 10 instead of dropping back to second and 14 or something like that. That would be my only knock against him right now. Other than that, Felipe Franks has been playing out of his mind recently. And if you didn't have Felipe Franks as your starting quarterback right now, I would guarantee you wouldn't be sitting at 3-3 right now.
All right, we're going to take you through at least the next 30 minutes or so. It's up to our listeners if you keep us on, because we want your calls and texts as we're reacting to another victory for Arkansas, their third out of six games this year. The final score, 24-13 over the Tennessee Volunteers. And we'll take a break at the top of this hour and come back with some scores around the SEC. Of course, you only had four games today. There were some upsets across college football. Mm-hmm. The Pac-12 did get started. Big Ten in their second week. And, of course, we'll go through the top 25 scores and get you through this box score. But, you know, one point to focus on throughout the next couple of days when you're looking at the – if you rewatch the game, if you read through the box score and anything, that third quarter, the opening drive of the third quarter, very well could be the most important drive of the season for this Arkansas Razorback team, and certainly maybe the most impressive when you look at how that 17-play, 75-yard drive totally changed the direction of this football game. They convert on five third downs, all of them 5 yards or shorter. They were able to generate good yardage on first and second down. You had guys make plays all around the field. Franks was terrific. That drive was the most impressive drive offensively, I think, all season long. And keep in mind, it does come in a game where for the other three quarters, there really wasn't much going on offensively. All right, 877-377-6963. Back into the second hour, Hog Reaction after this.
This is Hog Football Reaction. Streaming live now from hitthatline.com. ESPN 96.3. Streaming live on hitthatline.com. Welcome to the Hog Reaction Show, the only show where you can give your post-game takes on the air.
Call or text 877-377-6963. Our reactions, your reactions, all the reactions start right now.
Back on Hog Reaction here, Phil Elson, Matt Smackdown Jenkins. Good to have you on with us today on our network.
And happy Sunday.
That's right, and happy Sunday. ESPN 104.5, ESPN 95.3, ESPN 96.3, and ESPN 99.5 all across the natural states. As Arkansas beats the Tennessee Vols 24-13. Let's have a look at the other scores around the SEC. Florida able to come from behind with a 44-28 win at against Georgia. I was going to say at Georgia. Georgia designated as the home team. Of course, it was played in Jacksonville as always. Florida, you thought Arkansas had the biggest quarter in the SEC this week with 24 points, where the Gators scored 24 points in the second quarter. And went at 44-28, improved to 4-1. Second loss for Georgia. This probably knocks them out of the top 10, especially with Pac-12 teams playing. Remember, when it came to the two voting polls that we usually talk about, that's not the CFP poll, the leagues that had not started yet were not included in the votes. So now that the Pac-12 has started, there will be more schools eligible to enter into the AP top 25 in the coaches poll. Texas A&M probably going to get into that top five now after a 48-3 win over South Carolina. Boy, rolling now at 5-1. Mississippi State able to pick up their second win of the year after a four-game losing streak. Beat Vanderbilt 24-17. Vandy's 0-5.
They're betting the bandwagon back together down in Starkville, Phil.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure the bandwagon is being put together.
They're putting it together with duct tape and Visqueen and everything else.
And then, of course, we got Arkansas 24-13 over Tennessee. Let's look at other scores around the top 25. Last night, BYU, ninth team in the country, 51-17 over number 21 Boise State. 11th ranked Miami, 6-1 after a 44-41 win at North Carolina State. How about this one that ended just short of when we were getting on the air today? A classic in South Bend. Notre Dame and Clemson going into double overtime, and the Fighting Irish beat Clemson 47-40. How long was that regular season winning streak they had put together, SmackDown? What was it, 23 games, I think you had said?
Yeah, so I think it was 23 games. It was a 39-game regular season win streak for Clemson.
Wow. Notre Dame 47-40, now 7-0, and a 6-0 perfect conference record. Third-ranked Ohio State 49-27 over 1-2 Rutgers. You had Cincinnati, the top team in the group of five, with a 6-0 record now after beating Houston 38-10. 12th-ranked Oregon opens up the season against Stanford at home, and the Ducks win 35-14. Indiana beats Michigan for the first time since 1987, 38-21. The Hoosiers now 3-0 with wins over Michigan and Penn State for the first time in school history. 14th-ranked Oklahoma State rebounds after their loss to Texas last week, winning in Manhattan, Kansas over the Wildcats 20-18. 15th-ranked Coastal Carolina 7-0, 23-6 over South Alabama. Marshall 51-10 over 0-2 UMass. Marshall is the 16th-ranked team in the country, 6-0. 17th-ranked Iowa State survives 1-4 Baylor in Ames 38-31. Southern Methodist, number 18 team in the country, 47-23, winning at Temple. Mustangs are 7-1 with Sonny Dykes. Boy, Kansas and Oklahoma 62-9 over the Jayhawks.
Wow.
Wow. 19th-ranked Sooners are 5-2. USC comes from behind, beats Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils 28-27.
Did you happen to catch up part of that game?
No, I did not.
Arizona State had the lead 27-14. Under like 3 minutes to go, I believe is what it was, and USC just bang, bang, just like that, and end up winning the game 28-27. It was crazy to watch.
22nd-ranked Texas, a 17-13 win over West Virginia, and Virginia Tech falls at home to number 25, Liberty, 38-35. We're reacting to the Razorbacks' 24-13 win over the Tennessee Volunteers. Calls and texts at 877 877-6963. Big Mike in Waldron. Big Mike, what's up? You're on Hog Reaction.
You know, first two or three games, I was sitting there going, let's see how much different coaching can make with two, three star players with a couple of fours sprinkled in. Made a heck of a difference, seemed to me. We was overmatched against Georgia. Then we go through the next three games. And last week, I said, let's see if they quit. They didn't quit last week.
There was no quit.
Tonight, it was like, let's see if they can freaking come back and win after getting kind of dominated in the first half. They didn't quit, and they come back. It's like the Hogs from the past are suddenly here, you know. Never quit. Every now and then they'll get beat. They don't quit. They come back. I love it. And what else was it? Did you say Notre Dame won?
Notre Dame did win, yep.
Nah, I wasn't hoping for that, but whatever. See y'all later.
So, wasn't a perfect night for you, Big Mike, but I guess sounds like you'll take it anyway. Sounds like he'll take it anyway. You know what this team won't ever do? And it feels weird to think about this because not expectations, but like the level of respect for the program was so low because the level of play was so low in so many areas. It just got embarrassing. This team won't ever embarrass you.
No, I mean, and now like every SEC network broadcast, anything like that, you're one of the first two or three teams that they lead off with. It's a respect thing. Absolutely. I mean, it's every, the whole vibe around this thing is changing right before our eyes, and people, and they've said it in broadcasting. By the way, Clint Sterner's entrance video or the hype video that they published pregame was incredible. But you're not embarrassed anymore to run around in your Razorback T-shirt. You're not embarrassed to have this team on a football field anymore because you're going into every game believing that, damn it, we're going to win this thing, and if we don't, we're going to give it our best shot trying, and we're going to go down swinging. You saw it last week against A&M. That team 2 years ago would have folded last time against A&M, and they kept fighting. Did the scoreboard kind of reflect how the game went? Probably not, but you still technically lost by 11, and you covered.
Yeah,
you covered against Georgia.
Again, it's fun to compare where you were emotionally as a fan exactly 365 days ago. I mean, you were leading into the loss against Western Kentucky, and you're kind of expecting it. At least that was the last game Chad Morris coached at Arkansas. Yeah. Yeah, and you were totally embarrassed.
Absolutely.
I think the embarrassment was through and through, and that word does not get bandied about any longer. 877-377-6963. We got one from Brad and Monette. DBs under Sam Carter playing with confidence in position to play the ball. Yeah, you want to lock this defensive staff up.
Absolutely.
You certainly would like to give it as best of a shot. Updates on Hudson Henry, none yet. None yet.
I think we'll probably hear something about that on Monday, don't you think?
I would expect, yes. Derek in Fayetteville is excited about the idea of respect. That's right. Not just the talk around the SEC. It's one of the biggest stories nationally right now in college football, and that's got to puff that Razorback chest up, doesn't it? Go to Bobby in Cave Springs. Hey, Bobby, you are on Hog Reaction.
Thank you so much. I don't understand why we're not getting at least a 10-point lead to start the game and having at least two-score lead. In every game, everybody does it. Come on, people. The subject that you were just discussing 365 days ago, there was not a more inept, uninspired team in D1 football than the Arkansas Razorbacks. They were disrespected by the conference. They were disrespected nationally. They were disrespected by their own fans. And that ain't happening now. And what SmackDown said a moment ago, they have met all of our expectations for this year, and we're six games in.
Exactly.
The other thing is, think about, don't even go a whole year ago. Think about 4 months ago or whenever it was in this decade-long year of 2020 that we found out what the schedule was. Not only were we going to have to play all of our regular opponents, but we're going to throw in Georgia and Florida just to make it a little nicer for you. And anybody thinking about it realistically, three games was optimistic looking at that schedule. And, you know, Tennessee may have been the most beatable team that we had left out of the last five. And we beat them. So that's great. But we don't need to be setting our expectations at 5 or 6 wins the rest of the year. We need to win one more. That would make us that would exceed expectations.
Bobby, let me ask you.
I don't think anybody.
Let me ask you, Bobby. What just right now, if I put you to it, how many more games is this team going to win this year? In your opinion, is this a 5-win team? Is this a team that'll beat, say, LSU, Missouri, and finish 5-5? Or like, what do you think in your mind?
I think we're still going to figure out a way to lose one of those. And I don't. That's not what I want, but I think so.
Lose
but
to LSU or Missouri.
Was gonna put it together.
Okay.
Please let it be Missouri. Please. Please let's beat Missouri. I know that all of Arkansas fans just want to poo-poo that and say, well, that's just a convoluted rivalry. We don't care.
No, it means something when you've been
every year.
It's got to mean something now with all the embarrassment in that series for Arkansas on their side. Now it means something because you want to actually show that you know you belong in that game because they haven't for a while. Bobby, appreciate the phone call.
6 years in a row, then you can have that attitude. Thanks, guys.
Exactly.
Thanks, Bobby.
That's exactly right. You know, then I mean, it's like the attitude that A&M fans would have against Arkansas. But hey, they've beaten Arkansas 8 years in a row.
Yep.
I tell you what though, next week, and your two toughest opponents obviously are Florida and Alabama, both have just ridiculous passing attacks.
Yeah.
So it will be very interesting to see, you know, how with this secondary, how good they've been. And you weren't going up against a great passing attack this weekend in the Volunteers. You are most definitely facing one of the best in Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts. Well, I saw Pitts had to leave the game early today.
Pitts took
because of just a hit that stopped me in my tracks when I saw that on the TV. Goodness gracious. 877-377-6963. We will come right back on Hog Reaction and continue to talk about Arkansas 24-13 over Tennessee.
This is Hog Football Reaction. Streaming live now from hitthatline.com.
You're listening to Hog Reaction.
Our special Razorback postgame coverage is presented by Bud Light.
13-0. 13-0. What's the end of the game score?
21-13.
That was one hell of a game, and especially one hell of a second half. So y'all just beat Tennessee, man.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to. You know what we're going to do, though? We've got to quickly call the Hogs for the race back.
Yeah,
that's a high blocker room right there, isn't it?
That's so much fun just to hear. You feel like you're right in there with them. You feel like you're jumping up and down with the guys, too.
Need to, if you're listening to that, pull this up on @RazorbackFootball. It's on Facebook. Fill at the end of that clip. Grant Morgan does a freaking backflip at the end of this clip.
No kidding. With one arm?
One arm backflip.
Wow.
Looking like Jeff Hardy jumping off the top rope or something.
Pretty special stuff. 877-377-6963. Boy, I love the jukebox. The jukebox is great.
Bring back the
jukebox to Northwest Arkansas. We need jukeboxes now at our favorite restaurants. Heck with these phones. Sam Pittman's going to become the best jukebox salesman ever.
Well, heck, I mean, you heard Thursday during his last press conference before the game, the dude can play guitar and piano. I mean, we've got a very multifaceted head coach up on the hill right now.
Mm-hmm. He's the jukebox in and of himself. All right, the phone lines are lighting up again, Razorback fans. We're proud of you. Here it is, just almost 12:30. You're keeping us on the air a little bit longer. Do it to us, right? 877 377
69-63. Sterling in Center Ridge. Hey, Sterling, good to talk to you, man. How are you?
Man, I couldn't be much better. I couldn't be much better. I mean, let me tell y'all something, guys. I don't know if y'all, I have a good friend. I love him to death. We're gonna play his team in a couple of weeks. And he told me a little bit today, sent me to Rocky Top, Tennessee, and all that stuff. And I'm not gonna give his name out. I'm just gonna give you a hint. It rhymes with Tiger 8. And
whoa! The Sterling, that was. I'm a little confused. Say that again. It was Tiger what?
Tiger 8.
Oh, okay.
I thought he said ape.
Let's give you a little hint.
Subtle.
Let's give you a little hint who it is. You know, I don't want to give his name out. You know, I don't want to bust him out like that, you know. But I'll give you a hint. If you can guess it, you know, it'll be all power to you. But, man, this team, to go down 13-0, to only have the ball for 10 minutes, to see, I mean, at times we've seen this team kind of lay down. I know we've been saying that a lot. But to come out in that third quarter, outgained your opponent 257-16. Mm-hmm. That's hard to do with Nintendo.
You ain't kidding, it is.
And I made it myself on purpose because of our head coach. And I said, Nintendo.
Oh, Sterling's got the call of the night so far, morning.
That's one of my favorite lines I've ever heard from you, Sterling. I love that. And you're so right, too. I mean, how often even in Nintendo did you hold your opponent to no first downs when you got 10, you know?
It was just an unbelievable performance. I can't say nothing bad about this team. This team is, and you know, to the previous caller, I understand what he's saying. Don't ask for too much. We didn't expect this and all that. But the word fan comes from fanatic. And I want one more. I want two more, three more, four more. I know Alabama is out of reach. But I'm not scared of Florida. I have no reason to be scared of Florida. None whatsoever. We played it. I mean, the A&M beat them. We played with A&M. We played them A&M as good as they played them. So, I mean, forget this. We don't want this. I ain't had no wins. SEC wins for 2 years. I'm greedy. I want more, and I think this team can give us more. Y'all guys have a great rest of the night.
Thank you, Sterling.
Sterling, that was a great call. It's always good to talk to you, but I really appreciated that Nintendo.
That was incredible. I mean, that's a great reference, too.
That's going to keep me awake for another hour just from the boost, my friend.
We needed a good laugh. We needed some more juice because we've had a lot more calls here recently, and we'll probably go to about one now. That was fantastic. He's right. Only in Nintendo can you get the zero first downs and 10 first downs.
But get to the heart a little bit of what he's just saying here, because, you know, you don't want to try to set yourself up for disappointment, right? But if the team has already met or surpassed your expectations, and look, I understand a lot of us, I thought this team would win 3 games with a chance at 4. They've met the expectation I had. Some other folks thought 4, some thought 5. Go ahead and be greedy right now. Go ahead and have high expectations for this game against Florida. You know what? When the season would have started, if you would have set a betting line on what the game would be, on what the line would be, it would probably be like Florida by 28. There's not going to be anything like that. They wouldn't. Go ahead and set your expectations high.
They wouldn't have lines out for Arkansas, Florida yet, would they?
No, not yet. But my whole thing is, it's like, this does seem like a team that could maybe find a way to upset a good team, perhaps, under the right situations. Like, this is a team that does have the quote-unquote puncher's chance.
Absolutely.
You know, if a top 10 team, if a national contending team, I know Florida might not be national contending now, but hey, if they win that division, which it looks like they will, and they go and beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, I'd have a tough time accepting Florida not in a 4-team playoff. I know there'd be other teams that would have a chance at this. But this Arkansas team, I think, given that Florida doesn't play its best game and Arkansas does, I think this team's got – this is the sort of program that now has a puncher's chance, just in the idea that they're coached so well, they play so hard, they're prepared.
Yes. And that'll get you bonus points just right there, because they've been in every game that they've been in. They held Georgia. Georgia's been probably the toughest team that they've – well, not the toughest. I would probably say Texas A&M at this point now. But you hang in there with Georgia. You should have beat Auburn, which are ranked at the time. You hung in there for most of the game-ish against Texas A&M and ended up losing by 11, and you were down 42-17, I think it was, or whatever the score was at that point. You've been in every game that you've been in every game. And that, there's no reason to believe that you won't give up, like you just said, a puncher's chance against Florida. Will you win? I don't know. They just popped up here on the SEC network that Florida, according to the FBI, it's an 88% chance that they'll beat Arkansas. But there's a 12% chance that they won't. And you know, Arkansas is going to come in there guns blazing, ready to rock and roll. It's going to be prime time, ESPN, the whole nine yards. And you know this team's going to be jazzed up and ready to go. I expect Felipe Franks to be laser focused on this game to A, get the Razorbacks a win, but B, and probably moreover, to show the Gator fans what they're missing in him right now. Now, are they missing him at all? No, because they got a hell of a quarterback in Kyle Trask right now. But to show what could have been if Felipe Franks had stuck around and gave him another chance.
I tell you what, though, and part of this also, too, and something to folks to check on early next week, you know, the status of Kyle Pitts. Because once he took that big hit in the Georgia game, he didn't return, if I understand correctly. I don't think it was a concussion with him, but that was a pretty jarring hit. So without Kyle Pitts in the lineup, I understand that they've got other weapons. That's their best. That's the best tight end in football. All right, 877-377-6963. Just want to go through some of the numbers on the box score here and review them. Yeah, they do have a puncher's chance. Text out of the 479. I think that's right. All right, total yards. Arkansas had the edge 413 to 292. In the air, Arkansas had the edge 215 to 107. Felipe Franks completes 18 of 24 passes for 215 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked 4 times. Tennessee generating 107 yards in the air. Their starter, Garantano, didn't even lead them in passing yards. Harrison Bailey did 6 for 9, 65 yards, no touchdowns, but he did throw the 2 interceptions. As far as yards per play, Arkansas averaged 5.9 yards per play, Tennessee 4.1. Teams ran virtually the same amount of plays, Tennessee 71, Arkansas 70. The Volunteers netted 5.1 yards per passing attempt, Arkansas 8.6. Volunteers 3.7 yards per rush, Arkansas 4.4. Nobody lost a fumble. Arkansas did fumble the ball 4 times, never lost any of them. 2 penalties for the Razorbacks. That's it, 2.
That's incredible.
2 penalties for 20 yards, 3 penalties for Tennessee for 30 yards. Some of the other numbers to dig into here, possession time would have been a big one. Tennessee did have better time of possession. And that was 32 minutes, 59 seconds to 27 minutes for Arkansas. Of course, that big third quarter, 9:47 for Arkansas time of possession, 5:13 for Tennessee. Third down, Tennessee, just about as where they've been for the season, 5 of 15. Arkansas converted 9 third downs on 17 attempts. And it's important to say again, remember, because the offense didn't really do much first, second, fourth quarter. In the third quarter, they converted 6 of 7 third downs. Red zone. In the red zone, Tennessee scored once on 2 drives. That was the touchdown. Arkansas, 2 scores on 3 drives inside the 20. Both of those on touchdowns. And those are the team stats to get a look at here and the individual statistics. Arkansas, let me pick up the full individual stats, not the little quickie numbers. Traylon Smith led Arkansas with 72 yards on 9 carries. Rakeem Boyd gained 65 yards on 19 carries. Davion Warren, who was second for Arkansas in all-purpose yards, had 41 yards on 2 carries. Warren also gained 8 yards on receptions, 26 yards on kick returns. So he was second on the team with 75 all-purpose yards. Traylon Burks led the team in all-purpose yards with 101. That did include 2 yards on a rush. Felipe Franks nets 18 yards on rushes, but with the 4 sacks, he had a loss of 32 on a gain of 50. So, again, Franks, when he gets out on design runs or calls his own number, he usually is able to gain something there. Traylon Burks, 5 catches, 95 yards and a touchdown.
Mike Woods, 3 catches, 64 yards and a touchdown. Blake Kern, 3 catches, 40 yards and a touchdown. Hudson Henry caught 3 balls for 16 yards. Traylon Smith nets negative 7 yards on 2 catches. Davion Warren had the 8 yards on 1 catch. Rakeem Boyd, negative 1 yard on 1 catch. Hogs did use a couple of punters. Reed Bauer punts 4 times, average of 42.5 yards, 1 touchback, a long of 51, did get in the 20 once. Sam Loy had 2 punts for 27.5 yards, once inside the 20. And now for the defensive stats, because, hey, this is a defense-oriented team, right? Arkansas was led by Bumper Poole with 14 tackles, 6 of them solos, 1.5 for a loss. Jalen Catalan, 12 tackles, tied with Grant Morgan. Catalan also had 6 solo tackles, 1 forced fumble, and had the interception on the final play. Morgan, a dozen tackles. It's like he's a machine, always a dozen tackles a game, every single time out there. Joe Fouché, 8 tackles, had 1 sack, 1 tackle. That was his 1 tackle for the loss. Julius Coates, 6 tackles, 1 for a loss. Eric Gregory, 5 tackles, half for a loss, and an interception on that batted ball in 4th down. Jonathan Marshall, 1 tackle for a loss, but 4 total tackles. And, boy, he really just did misdirect the rush attack for Tennessee all throughout the game. Hudson Clark, Greg Brooks, Hayden Henry, Torian Carter, Isaiah Nichols, Andrew Parker, each with 2 tackles. Simeon Blair, Monteric Brown, Zach Williams, Xavier Kelly, each with 1 tackle. And Kelly did have 1 sack. Ladarius Bishop had 1 breakup of a pass. So that's a glance of the box score. And, of course, the numbers that matter are the final score.
Yep.
And it was Arkansas with a victory by a final of 24-13. 3-3 record. Vols are now 2-4.
And I'm kind of curious where Tennessee will go here from next, because they mentioned it several times and we've talked about it too. Both these teams are heading in such different directions right now. Where Arkansas is trending upward, now you got Tennessee on a 4-game skid right now, and you wonder, I don't mean you're talking off the break or during the break, and we had a text in here earlier talking about it, what coaches are on the hot seat and might get let go at the end of the season. Obviously, you think about Derek Mason, maybe a Will Muschamp, and you got to wonder now, what's the job safety of Jeremy Pruitt now if you're a Tennessee fan?
Well, I mean, they still have time to have some sort of a little run here, but, I mean, Tennessee had the tough start last season. There's not a lot of time for them to have this turnaround now.
And they got a brutal.
They've got coming up A&M in Knoxville, then at Auburn, then they get Vanderbilt, which is their 1 non-difficult game coming up, and they finish with Florida. You know, for Arkansas, you're at Florida next week, 6 o'clock on ESPN, then home against LSU, winnable, no doubt. At Missouri on November 28th, you know, we'll figure out whether or not that's, you know, I think that you'd say you're competitive, that's a winnable game. Mizzou also has done well. Mm-hmm. That'll be the chance for Sam Pittman to go 3-0 against the other first year coaches in this league. And then you finish up with the big boy Alabama, and we'll worry about that bridge once we come to it. Calls and texts as we have 1 more segment left on Hog Reaction, 877-377-6963. Stay tuned. We'll come back up, wrap it up after this break. So, again, if you got calls, it's 877-377-6963. Right back.
This is Hog Football Reaction. Streaming live now from HitThatLine.com. ESPN 96.3. Streaming now on HitThatLine.com. Advice. Bud Light.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here on Hog Reaction. It has been a fun night, and it's been a fun football season. And we've got some more to get to for the next 4 weeks, and how about that? Arkansas wins 24-13 over Tennessee. We loved hearing the post-game locker room celebration where Coach Pittman asked them what the score was at halftime and then what the score was at the end of the fourth. Got the jukebox going, and it's going to be another good week to talk Arkansas football on our affiliates, no doubt.
Isn't it fun? I mean, granted, you and Ty did the halftime for 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years before I came aboard here, but I've been a fan for all my life, and especially really getting into it in these past 2 or 3 I've been into it for a long time, but really starting to dig into it a lot more when Petrino and then John L. Smith, Bielema, Chad Morris, and You have this big sense of pride right now. And I forgot what this feeling felt like when we went through the bye week a couple weeks ago. And you were just like, God almighty, God, I wish we were playing this weekend. Whereas 3 years ago, 2 years ago, last season, you look forward to the bye weeks because you knew the Arkansas wasn't going to lose that week. It's crazy that the turnaround that this team has had. I don't even remember what I said the record this season would have been. I think I might have said 2-8 or 3-7 or something like that. But my God, Phil, I mean, we talked about it before. You're 3-3 right now and got a really, really realistic chance to possibly push this thing to 5-5, maybe even a 6-4. And I agree with you what you said earlier. I mean, the way this team plays, I'm not going to put it past them to put a little scare in Florida or Alabama and maybe even pull an upset on one of those two teams. If they played that well and they played together, they played their hearts out, they're coached up, and you know they're going to come in there ready to go, and you know damn well they ain't going to quit. This team is going to be ready to rock and roll next week against Florida. Will it result in a win? I have no idea. Florida's got a super tough team, and my Lord, did they play well today against Georgia. And they needed it. I mean, you're fighting for the SEC East. The winner of that game will win the East more than likely. So Arkansas's going to have their hands full next week. Depends on the health with Kyle Pitts, because you saw what Wiedermeyer did with A&M to this Arkansas defense, and Kyle Pitts is a man among boys on that field, particularly today against Georgia. Obviously went out with a concussion early in that game, so we'll see if he's ready to go next week. Trask is probably, maybe, arguably the best quarterback in the SEC. It's a toss-up probably between him and Mac Jones. It's going to be a lot of fun next Saturday. It's going to be a fun week of shows. Kind of, you're the underdog now, and I think that's where Sam Pittman and this team will thrive, being in that underdog role and not necessarily – obviously, you want to be favored in this, but I think, was it Connor O'Gara? Like, Arkansas has no pressure on them right now. You're playing, and Sam Pittman's playing with house money at this point. Whatever he does now for the rest of the season is just added Christmas bows on the Christmas present at this point. It's another present under the Christmas tree, in my mind. So, kudos to him. It's a hell of a game. I am pumped up, and I think all of Razorback Nation is pumped up with us, Phil.
Well, I think it's been fun, and I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be pumped up.
Yeah.
You've got a fun football team to watch. You got which should be an exciting game coming up on Saturday against Florida. You know, a chance to make a real statement. You felt like you made one tonight with the most incredible third quarter that I've ever seen watching Arkansas football. And I can't wait to break that down even a little bit more on the defensive performance all throughout the week on our shows on ESPN Arkansas and ESPN Northwest Arkansas. All right, let's wrap it up here. Let's wrap it up.
Let's do it.
And send you to the Sandman for the rest of the night. So appreciate you tuning in on ESPN 104.3, ESPN 95.3, ESPN 96.3, and ESPN 99.5 to our affiliates on ESPN Arkansas and ESPN Northwest Arkansas. And for all the callers and texters who are part of the show today, this is Phil Elson for Matt Jenkins. Thank you for tuning in, and thanks for your participation. And again, the final score tonight, Arkansas 24, Tennessee 13. The Razorbacks now 3-3 on the season, facing Florida on Saturday.